This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org, joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development, new neighborhoods, new highways, new byways, new office parks. We got all things new, don't we, Brian?
And pie. Happy Pie Day.
And happy Pie Day to you, too. No pie today. We're taking a bit of a respite. God knows my tummy could use it, but we still get have a lot of new stuff, growth stuff out there, right?
We do.
I mean, it never stops.
It never stops.
Even in a down market.
And, you know, the county and city budget process never seems to stop either.
Nice transition. There you go.
Dave,
nice segue.
Dave Norris was on WINA this morning.
He was. I heard it.
And he said, you know, today at noon, we're going to, or 2 o'clock, whenever it was, this afternoon they met and they approved the city budget. But he said, you know, Jay and Rick, you know, we start immediately on next year's budget.
They're already working on next year's budget. Well, Sean Tubbs from Charlottesville Tomorrow was there today at the big city meeting where they approved the budget. How long did that meeting last?
6 minutes, Coy. And Sean said there were more media in the room than city councilors.
Isn't that funny? 6 minutes.
And they met in a conference room upstairs. They didn't even bother with, you know, city council chambers.
Well, you have a picture of it on your blog over there at Charlottesville
Tomorrow.
We do.
And
it looks very casual.
Chris Callahan from WINA is the colorful character on the left in the picture.
In the red.
Wants to look at him.
Brian, doesn't it look like they're just like sitting around somebody's table in a basement somewhere, getting ready to play ping pong or something?
Boy, pretty much.
Very casual.
A little conference room in City Hall. So in 6 minutes, whereas with Albemarle County last week, the Board of Supervisors, it took them 4.5 hours, and it was the first item on their agenda. So it took 4.5 hours before they could agree to a compromise on the tax rate.
What a contrast. What a contrast. 6 minutes. Why is that? Explain that to us. You follow these things very closely.
Well,
why is it it takes the county 4.5 hours to figure out a tax rate, and it takes the city 6 minutes?
Well, I would say in the city there was agreement from the beginning that you know, Gary O'Connell's budget was the right budget and the right tax rate.
Yeah.
So in the city, they're keeping the tax rate at 95 cents. The overall city budget, the operating budget, is about $141 million, and the increase in the operational budget is about 4.2%. So contrast that with Albemarle County. Albemarle County's budget operational is about $270 million, so 270 versus 141. And in the county, though, it's only growing by 2.6% versus 4.2%.
Which is arguably not much growth at all.
Right.
I mean, when you're growing by that small amount.
It is a small amount. And
spread out over a bunch of different departments, it's sort of staying the same.
So I think in the city there was more agreement from the beginning about what they were getting into and what sort of revenues they were going to have.
And they're all in the same party. That helps.
And Dave Norris, the mayor of the city of Charlottesville this morning, was saying that you know, they are not in, you know, in the same place as Albemarle this year as far as facing the assessment crunch and having that really impact their revenue stream. But he predicted that it would next year.
Well, it helps when your neighbors are giving you millions of dollars, doesn't it?
And that's the revenue sharing agreement,
of course.
Does that
not aid and assist you when you come
that,
it's time to budget?
Well, it certainly did. And in fact, some of the last-minute adjustments they made today were to reallocate some of that money towards other priorities.
Reallocate some of the
The money coming from the revenue sharing agreement.
Coming from Albemarle taxpayers.
Yeah, that's right.
They're reallocating it towards what?
Yeah, it's unencumbered money that comes to the city of Charlottesville.
No strings attached.
So they can do whatever they want with it. So this was $75,000 that they took from the capital improvement program, and they moved it towards, they call them outside agencies that were not funded in the original budget. So they made that little adjustment.
I think it'd be nice if they spent it on county schools. Just as a nice thing to do.
Well,
wouldn't that be nice?
Of course, I'm not going to argue with that. But, you know, the county schools did write well in the whole grand scheme of things. But, you know, to put things in perspective in the county, the tax rate that they had adopted was 71 cents, again, versus 95 in the city. But that 71 is really 61 in the county because 10 cents goes to the city.
Goes right to the city.
And at 71 cents, the way I figure the impact on a typical homeowner is I take the median home value, sales price, of a house, and you just heard, you had, I think, Dave Phillips, or you were talking about...
Jim Duncan.
Jim Duncan was in,
yeah,
talking about the market report,
right,
at local realtors. So they now have first quarter numbers, so I can now adjust this for first quarter of 2008. So the average home price is, I want to say, around $340,000 in Albemarle. It actually jumped up.
Interesting.
And that was one of the interesting things in that market report. The price of the house did not go down. The median sales price
went up.
It went up.
Which means the homes that are selling for more.
Right. The median home,
yeah,
in Albemarle County. And Dave Phillips, who's the head of CAR, pointed that out. But the average impact for taxes would be about $102. So last year's rate
for
was...
For county taxpayers at the 71-cent rate.
That's right. So on average, they pay $102 more per year with this new tax rate.
$102 per year, which is what, $12, $11 a month? Which is, what, another $3 or $4 a week.
And the Board of Supervisors had a long discussion. I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I go to these meetings all the time, so I find a lot of, you know, I get a strange thrill out of this, I guess. But sitting there for 4.5 hours watching them, I was ready for them to make a decision. But they were locked in two different camps all day long. One camp at 70 cents, one at 71 cents. And they just could not come to an agreement. Finally, somebody said, well, how about 70 and a half? And everybody thought, oh, brilliant. You know, finally we can have a compromise here. And
yeah,
everybody would have supported that. They went around and, you know, everyone's nodding their head.
Yeah.
And then staff pointed out that they couldn't do that. Because
we can't go halfies.
The halfies, apparently the computer does not like halfies. So they could not.
Wasn't there a suggestion that they go like 70 for the first half of the year and then to 71?
Well, that was the next thing. Then they said, yeah, okay, we'll pick a round number, but we'll just use one round number for the first half of the year, one round number for the second half.
Because you pay in two installments. You pay for one
That's
half
right.
of the year, another half a year.
And in fact, Albemarle did that back in fiscal year 2002.
So there's a history,
so there's
a precedent for
yep,
that.
Yep, and County Attorney Larry Davis said, hey, we've done this before. We can probably do it again. So they recessed, and staff sort of got in this big huddle, and they came back and said, no, they couldn't do that.
And why did that happen?
Well, this time...
I mean,
time,
if it looked like the elected folks, that's what they wanted to do,
yep,
and the staff had done it in the past...
They didn't have enough time to rejigger the software to generate these notices. So in 2002, when they did it, they went into that budget cycle knowing they were going to have a split rate, one rate for the first 6 months, one for the second. And so they had more time to prepare. And staff just said, you know, we can't pull that off in this short a time frame.
Do you buy that?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I think that the county...
So the computers were set already for 71, and they said,
county,
no, we can't change it back to 70?
No, it wasn't set for a certain number, but it was going to be hard for them to communicate in this bill, because I think they show both periods and the impact.
Yeah.
And it was going to be hard for them to show the difference there. Now, yeah, it seems like a very straightforward transaction.
It seems easy, doesn't it?
But, you know, Dave Norris and Julian Taliaferro in the city, they found this out last year, too. You know, they had a press conference saying that they wanted to give money back. And staff said
nope,
no, we can't do that.
not that we don't want to, mind you, but we just can't do that.
I mean, again, you know, it seems like a simple thing.
It does.
In this case, I think Albemarle County is hamstrung by its financial accounting systems. And
oh,
they
is
actually,
it really antiquated?
Yeah, and they have a program that's up and running right now to put in new systems, but they're not there yet. And it's called Access Albemarle. The Daily Progress did a cover story on that a while back.
Oh, yeah, that's where they lost millions of dollars already to Microsoft, right?
Well, millions have been spent. And
we got nothing to show for it.
That's right. So the county is trying to put in a new system, and my assumption is that the new system would be able to handle
something
like this.
I'm surprised that more people haven't criticized the county on that note, because they constantly criticize them for, you know, some folks criticize the county for wasting money and spending too much money, and yet they're throwing millions away on this new accounting system that they have nothing to show for it yet.
There was some feedback during the public hearings about that, but I think that story is still unfolding, and they are still waiting to get, the Board of Supervisors is waiting to get a report from their consultants. They've hired a new consultant who's trying to figure out what can be salvaged out of this effort with Microsoft. And again, this is from the Daily Progress article, but they will then take away from that some next steps.
Yeah.
And so the county's waiting to hear what those
next
steps
are. And that's Ken Boyd's project, right? I mean, that's...
He is certainly one of the key people, given his business background in banking and with major IT systems like this. And, you know, I think everyone in local government wants a better system that's easier to customize. They can do better reports. They can, you know, there's a big push in both city and county government right now for this, effective use of resources, being efficient and effective. And I think, they're looking for ways to keep better track of these different cost centers.
Yeah.
And different software will give them more flexibility on that.
And it would be great to have software that when you're elected, folks say, we want to do this, where the staff can say, yeah, whatever you want to do, we can do it. Instead of constantly saying, no, we can't do that.
That's right.
Do halfies, or we can't do a split rate, even though we did it before, because our computer system won't let us do this.
So that was the news, and yeah, there's the most recent example of the software getting in the way of a good idea.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be the first office place where that happened, would it? We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. And before we break here for local news and weather at the bottom of the hour, an update. Going to be cold tonight, folks. Throw a sheet over your plants. If you got something out there that might get frosted, make sure you throw a sheet over it because it's going to be down in the 20s tonight. Where do we go next? You got the city school board meeting?
Yeah, and typically we don't talk about school issues, Coy, but this one is in the city.
A total growth and planning issue.
And who would have thunk? The Meadow Creek Parkway would be in front of the city school board at their meeting this week. But they are going to get to make
it. Were they asking for the money for it?
They're going to get to make a key vote because, you know, VDOT showed up at their last meeting and said, we'd sort of like you to hand over the land now because the road's going to go through one of your softball fields. And and the city school board's now asking questions about it. You're starting to see letters to the editor asking questions about this. And
is the school system being paid back for the loss of a softball field?
Well,
by VDOT?
VDOT would like them to just donate that, to just hand it over. You know, I think they're thinking, you know, we're two governments, we can work together on this.
Just give it to us.
Yeah. So for a dollar.
So the Meadow Creek Parkway, they got this big new interchange here, and then it's going to go a few hundred yards to a stoplight.
Well,
at Melbourne,
yeah,
right?
That's right. So this,
and
is
then
the,
go through a softball field.
Well, it's going to go through the softball field first, and then hit Melbourne Road,
and then hit a stoplight at Melbourne Road.
Right.
So you spend $250,000 or $50-100 million, whatever, on a new interchange down here at McIntyre,
and then
so you can go a few hundred yards to hit a stoplight.
Right. Oh, I see. You were coming up from the city.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it coming from the county.
Yeah.
Right.
You go through that fancy new interchange.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. You
go
through McIntyre Park. Right.
To go a few hundred yards to a stoplight.
And here's the interesting thing.
This is crazy.
This softball field is actually in Albemarle County. This is county. This is in the county. This intersection with Melbourne Road is in the county of Albemarle. The border dips in to the city or dips out of the city, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
And so this intersection is in Albemarle County. So this is the county's portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway, but it's city-owned land.
In the county.
And
there's a school softball field on it.
And the city attorney is telling the school board they need to weigh in on this.
Because it's their softball field.
Because they're the ones using the property.
Yeah. And it's in the county.
And it's in the county. And one of these city school board members is Juan Diego Wade.
Uh-huh.
So he was recently elected, you know, the city school board. And he is the county's transportation planner. So he is definitely in the hot seat at these meetings.
He's like, where's the soap music? Because you need to cue that music.
And then you've got me, a sitting school board member in the county, talking about
this planning issue.
So that's small town Charlottesville.
Oh, isn't it though? Totally, totally. So what's it, so the city's so, being asked to give up a softball field that they own in the county,
right,
for this little roadway here that
would be built. School board members Kathleen Galvin and Ned Mickey both raised concerns about, you know, would the traffic be too fast? Is it too close to the school? Pedestrian safety?
Yes, yes,
typical,
and yes.
Typical questions that you might have about a road.
Yeah,
like that.
Of course it is.
So anyway, this will be in front of the city school board Thursday night, and I know WINA is going to cover it.
It's a parkway, Brian, right? I mean, the traffic will be going,
it's supposed to be
55, right?
No, it's supposed to be like 35.
Yeah, right.
35 miles per hour,
like
two
lanes. It's 35 on the 250 bypass out here near the fire station where folks go 55.
Supposed to be 35, though.
Yeah. And it's on a raised berm, right? Going through the park?
Well, in parts of McIntyre Park, yes. This part over on the school site, I don't think so, based on my walking around there.
Yeah.
But again, that light in the county is a problem. But the planners working on the city side of this, both the interchange and the city's strip of the Meadow Creek Parkway,
which is the part there right next to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
This is sort of a problem off of their planning horizon because it's over on the county side.
Even though it's part of city land in the county.
Right. Now you're confusing me. But my point is that there are three different projects here: the interchange, the city's portion, the county's portion, and the next opportunity for this to be discussed is in front of the city school board.
City school board Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Where is that?
I believe their meetings are at Charlottesville High School.
Charlottesville High School. Be there or be square. The next big meeting about the Meadow Creek Parkway Thursday night at Charlottesville High School. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, the executive director. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. And just a reminder to folks, the six-minute city council meeting from this afternoon where they decided on their new tax code versus the four-and-a-half-hour meeting in the county to decide a tax code. That podcast, you've already got that online.
Yeah, you can listen to all 6 minutes.
All 6 minutes. There you go. And what is this about Clifton Lake? I don't even know what that is.
Well,
we have a Clifton Lake?
I'm trying to find my notes about it, and I can't find it.
I know we have a Lake Albemarle.
I'll go off memory here. But up on our website, I put up a story last week, very interesting Planning Commission meeting about a development I had never heard of, and a lake I had never heard of, which is between the Clifton Inn, which is at 250 East. So you're heading east, you're at Shadwell, you've passed Luckstone, and then there's the light at Milton. So you could turn right and go down to Stone Robinson Elementary and the Clifton Inn. So that little road there is important to the story and the Clifton Inn. Now, if you keep on going, before you get to Glenmore, there's a place called Shadwell Estates. That's another little development.
On the right.
On the right.
Yeah.
If you're heading east. So between Shadwell Estates and the Clifton Inn is, I want to say it's about 60 acres of development that goes back to 1978 when the Board of Supervisors rezoned it for Dr. Hurt, Dr. Charles Hurt.
Ah, that name again.
So this development has been rezoned for 30 years and just waiting for an application to come forward to put in the houses. And
is there a lake there now?
And there's a lake there now. And
I never knew that.
Clifton Inn enjoys that lake, and apparently their guests walk down to it. And the neighborhood right now, as Shadwell Estates, has a lot of forest because this parcel is undeveloped. So I'm sure they enjoy the lake as well. But yeah, you can't see the lake from 250, I don't believe.
So what's he want to do? Like fill it in and build houses there?
Now they finally have said, okay, we're ready to go. Well, interestingly, the county in 1978 was concerned about traffic on 250 East. And of course, this is before Glenmore. This is before a lot of the development out that way. And they said, well, that's fine, Dr. Hurt, you can put in your subdivision, but you have to have a second access point. You can't just go out through that road for Shadwell Estates. You have to go out the road over by Milton on the other side and the Clifton Inn. And at that time, some of the land around Clifton Inn was part of this whole property, this Clifton Lake subdivision. And so it made sense to them to put that requirement in place. Well, the Albemarle County Planning Commission last week said that requirement was still important. And they said to the developer, we approve, of your plan because it matches the original rezoning, but you still need to put in a road over the dam, past the Clifton Inn to that other connector road.
So that your main in-out road for this whole new neighborhood isn't through some other neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, and when you think about
it, certainly makes a lot of sense if you live in Shadwell Estates.
Well, the folks there came forward and said, hey, we have enough trouble making a left turn on 250 today to come into Charlottesville. And apparently it's there's a hill there, limited sight distance. So they feel like they're taking their lives in their hands every day.
Yeah.
To leave
to get in and out of their neighborhood.
That's right. So the prospect of having more cars, queuing up there, they thought was a recipe for disaster. But this developer has a little problem. And the problem is that now the land, they don't own the land where this connector road needs to be.
Uh-huh.
So the Clifton Inn folks came forward and they said, we're not really interested in putting a road near the inn anymore.
Who owns that land? The Clifton Inn?
I believe the family is the Wiley family. I think that's right. And the general manager of the Clifton Inn came forward and spoke on their behalf and said, you know, our property owners are not inclined to help in this situation any longer. The applicant handed out a letter from 1990, which said something different.
Yeah.
Basically, the county attorney said, you know, well, at that point in time, they may have had one thought about
20 years ago.
Obviously, now they think something different. So the Planning Commission approved it, but they left that requirement in place. So my concluding words in the story we put up on our website was, let the negotiations begin.
Yeah, yeah. So how much you want to pay Dr. Hurt for that little bit of land to get your access road?
So they will have to prove and actually build that road before they can build any houses in Clifton Lake.
So that's like the contingency for the deal. You've got to have this access road. You can't build a new neighborhood on the back of another one. You got to have your own access road.
Yep.
That's going to be a lot safer.
Another development out that way that got the attention of the Board of Supervisors was a storage facility, you know, one of those self-serve storage facilities.
I got some in one right now.
And, okay, we're at the I-64 interchange now with 250 East.
Hold on. I-64.
Pantops.
Yep.
Come out of Pantops, you're at I-64.
Yep, I'm there.
And
there's an old hotel back in there.
Comfort Inn.
There used to be a comedy club back in there.
You told me that, and I was surprised to hear that.
It's like 20 years ago, but I still remember it.
I am certain I never went there, but it is a hotel.
Somebody remembers it.
The Comfort Inn. You will remember, Coy, that I was on the show talking about the East Pantop Sports Complex, which is on
the
right
shot that
side
down.
Of the road.
That was too big.
Too big. They're coming back, though. They're coming back with something else.
Really?
So we'll...
On that site?
On part of that site.
Yeah.
They're going to try to, I think, cram
scale it back. And
well, they have, part of the land is zoned highway commercial, and they were looking at an auto dealership and a sports complex. So here's the rub. This part of 250 is outside of the Pantops growth area. So Pantops designated growth area, but once you hit I-64, you're out of it.
And you're in rural area.
You're in the rural area.
Yeah.
Now, some of the land, though, along this strip was zoned highway commercial eons ago.
Right.
So
because that used to be the road out of town. Which is why all those car dealerships are there.
Yep.
That was the highway in and out of town.
So you have some underlying zoning that doesn't match what the comprehensive plan has in mind for these properties. So now you've got people coming in, and in the case of the self-storage facility, it's zoned, I believe it's zoned rural areas, and they're asking for a rezoning, basically saying, hey, I'm surrounded by highway commercial. Why not take my rural area and make it match? And that's very much what the developer of the sports complex was saying. They wanted to add a little piece to their highway commercial to make the strip longer because they wanted a bigger parking area for the auto dealer.
But where does it end? I mean, you could make that argument miles into the rural area.
And that's what the Board of Supervisors has said and the Planning Commission. They said, you know, it's not consistent with the comp plan, and they turned this down.
So they draw the line at 64 then. The growth area stops there.
That's right. Yeah. Unless you're a property owner that already has that highway commercial zoning. In this case, they did not. So they were trying to get it rezoned.
To change it.
Right. And so the Planning Commission and the board are consistently, and this was a 6-0 vote. So it was unanimous in opposition to the storage facility to preserve that land as, you know, rural agricultural. You know, obviously it's not being used for that purpose really today. It's not a farm.
Yeah.
But, you know, that you have to draw the line somewhere, and they're sticking to it.
Interesting. Very interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and you can read about all of these news stories on the Charlottesville Tomorrow weblog online at seavilletomorrow.org. What else is going on?
We have a couple interesting meetings coming up. So let me preview a couple of them and just make sure your listeners know because they can go to these things. One of them is a great one next week. It's a luncheon, the North Charlottesville Business Council. This is a group of business leaders on 29 North, part of the Chamber of Commerce. But on April 23rd at 11:30 at the Holiday Inn, they're having a luncheon, Holiday Inn University Avenue, University area on Emmett Street. They're having a forum, and they've invited the presidents of the Danville and the Lynchburg. Let me see if it's the Chambers or what. I got to find the right piece of paper here.
I hear the Western Bypass coming down the tracks. I can hear it now.
Well,
you start talking about Danville and Lynchburg business folks.
Well, the North Charlottesville Business Council,
because they want that bypass,
supports that road.
Yes.
As does the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce, Charlottesville Albemarle Chamber of Commerce, their top two priorities for transportation, Meadow Creek Parkway, and the second one is a Western Bypass.
Why does local business want the Western Bypass? I don't understand that.
Well,
wouldn't they want more cars on 29 where the businesses are?
The folks involved with the North Charlottesville Business Council would have you call it the main street of Albemarle County. So they don't want it to become a quote-unquote expressway that's grade-separated and possibly putting distance between cars and the businesses.
Oh, so the business folks on 29 see one of two things are going to happen in the future. We're either going to have a bypass or we're going to have overpasses on those cross streets on 29, Hydraulic and Rio, and they want the bypass. They don't want the overpasses.
That's right.
Because the overpasses take you past the stores.
So I think now what's happening is they're inviting, and finally I found the paper here, they're inviting folks up from Danville and Lynchburg because guess who has bypasses?
Danville and Lynchburg.
Danville and Lynchburg.
And they're sweet.
They have bypasses.
Stanton has a bypass.
So they're inviting...
Can you believe it? Old Stanton.
I didn't know about that one.
Stanton has a sweet bypass. Yeah, it's new, too. Ooh,
and like I said, what is it bypassing?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question because it takes you on the western side of Stanton from one part of like 81 down to another part of 81.
I don't know how they got the money to do that.
Yeah, I don't either. We need some money.
Okay, so this North Charlottesville Business Council, it is an open luncheon. You can go. If you go to the Chamber of Commerce website, you can learn about it. But Lori Moran, president of the Danville Pennsylvania County Chamber, will be there. And Rex Hammond, president of the Lynchburg Regional Chamber.
So they're going to come forward and say, Charlottesville, you need to build a western bypass.
I mean, that's my assumption.
Yeah.
That's what they will say. Because they look at 29 as, you know, they want to do business and they see Charlottesville as being...
Getting in the way.
Causing problems.
Yeah, slowing down the trucks.
So that's one where you could go...
Personally, I'd like to tell you something. Personally, I think when they... The design of the bypass as it exists is way too close in. It should should come off of 29, like up near Ruckersville. And but as it is now, it comes off 29, like what, near the Walmart? It's already in the urban area before you get to the bypass.
Just above the Doubletree Inn.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense anymore the way it's built. It's grown past that old design. And I like the idea of the overpasses on 29. I don't mean to go against the business interest, but just as somebody who's out driving around, that to me makes a lot more sense that you would, if you're on Hydraulic, you could just go right over 29 and you don't have to stop. And if you want to get off and get on 29, you can.
And then this week on the 17th.
But we don't have money for either one of those.
No, we don't. The Free Enterprise Forum is having an interesting lunch with Sam
Staley,
who you interviewed. And
yeah, he was great.
Good interview.
Really interesting guy.
So he will also be talking about roads and the challenges building them and different approaches to addressing congestion. So I think that's another interesting discussion in our community.
Yep.
Let me hit a couple other
items.
When
is that luncheon again?
That is on the Free Enterprise Forum is the 17th.
That's right.
I believe their website is Free Enterprise.
Which is 2 days away.
If you just Google Free Enterprise Forum, you would find it.
Yeah. But, freeenterpriseforum.org.
Or just go to our website because, of course, Charlottesville Tomorrow has a link.
There you go.
So you can sign up for that. And then we had talked in a previous show about land use taxation. The Board of Supervisors was going to have a work session, but when they couldn't quickly pick a tax rate, that sort of went out the window.
So they got to do it again.
They're going to do it again. And that's rescheduled now for May 14th.
A month away.
And I know a lot of your listeners are interested in that topic. So
yes,
that's when
indeed.
That's going to happen. And the numbers I gave for land use taxation were low. So the current numbers are much higher as far as the tax impact of that. But I think it's like $17 million in taxes avoided by property owners.
Yeah. I want to know is what percent of those folks who have their land in land use are actually like small farmers or folks with some cattle versus what percent of that acreage is owned by developers who are just sort of sitting on the land until they're going to develop it.
Well, and one of the things that they're proposing is a revalidation process where you would send them a postcard and say, hey, how are you using your land? You know, certify here that you're doing X, Y, or Z.
I'm making hay.
So that's one of the questions.
And
since we're really on this road theme, let me just mention the Eastern Connector.
Oh, that's my favorite road.
Another road.
Love it. Love it. Build it.
This one's getting, of course, there's no money for this.
Yeah, there's no money for any of this stuff. That's what I would want first thing on Christmas morning, an Eastern Connector. But
really?
Not. Oh, yeah, that's a good road. That's a road we really need. You know why? It just makes so much sense that you would be able to get off the highway on 64 at Pantops and go up to 29 without going through the city.
But you can already go around 64 to the 29 bypass.
Yeah, but you'd have to drive. You have to drive all the way around to do it.
That's true.
You got to go all the way down to what the UVA exit. and get on 250 and then go up to 29 that way.
Well, the purpose for that road is clearly to help people do that, move from 29 north to Pantops, but also relieve congestion at Freebridge on the city-county border.
Yeah. But their plan for the Eastern Connector dumps all the traffic right down there at that busy intersection.
Well, the plans, there are several of them at the moment, and different iterations are getting looked at, but certainly Penn Park is one of the key spots they're looking at. But they're also trying to figure out, should it be two lanes, four lanes, what else needs to be done around Free Bridge? Should there be another bridge connecting the county into the city around, you know, the Pantop Shopping Center?
The challenge is you got those mountains right there. The Southwest Mountains are right there. So it's hard. Ideally, you'd go right through the mountains over to the...
Somebody recommended that. They wrote me a letter and they said, Brian, you need to put a tunnel through the mountain.
Wouldn't that make all sense in the world?
And, you know, if Crozet could do it, why can't we? Crozet has two of those tunnels, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, why can't we do that? Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org, and he joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
Have a great week.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.